Good morning, everybody. And I just pray that as we look at God's word together, he would speak to us, he'd encourage us, he'd draw us into deeper relationship with him. Let's allow God's word to go down deep into our lives, to change us, to transform us through the power of his spirit. As we continue exploring this amazing, this rich idea of our identity being in Christ, we're coming to the idea of reconciliation. This is something that Paul focuses on in the passage that we read earlier, where he speaks about God reconciling people to himself through Christ. He speaks about God giving the ministry of reconciliation to others. He speaks about the importance of being reconciled to God. But before we get to look at those particular ideas, we find those in verse 18 onwards, there are a couple of really important things to pick up on in verses 16 and 17. Paul is looking back to a time in his life when his understanding of Jesus was very different to what it was now. For those not familiar with his story, Paul was one of the main leaders in the early church, a powerful preacher, a successful missionary, one who contributed so much to the spread of the early church, one who wrote so much of our New Testament, someone who was prepared to endure much suffering for Jesus, to totally commit his life to serving him, eventually being killed because of it. But before this, he was totally opposed to Jesus and those who were following him. He saw Jesus and his followers as those who were drawing people away from God, and he committed his life and every effort to try to squash this new movement. His view of Jesus was that he had failed in his mission, and that any idea that he was the one God had promised to send to his people needed to be stamped out. And the thing that changed for Paul, that causes him to see things differently now, the moment that totally transformed his life forever, was when he met Jesus. And we can read about this in Acts 9. It's a story that Paul retells in Acts 22 and Acts 26. Suddenly he did not see Jesus from a human perspective, simply as a man who had lived and died. But he saw him as one who had total authority and power, someone who was actually the Son of God. And as well as having this divine perspective of Jesus, it's also important to move beyond a human perspective of others to seeing them how God does. When we look at people, we can make assessments of them based on a range of factors. How successful they seem, how happy they seem to be with life, how their family is doing, whether they seem to go from one crisis to another, whether they're always in need of help and support. We can look at some people and think they've got everything they need, and even, maybe not recognising we're doing it, think they've got things so sorted they don't need God in their lives. But that, to borrow Paul's words, is looking at people from a worldly point of view. Whereas if we look at people from a divine perspective, we see that everyone, no matter how successful or not, is in a desperate need of God in their lives, is in need of this relationship with Jesus. We need to move beyond what we see and to recognise that need and to realise that the only way that need can be met is through a life-changing meeting with Jesus. It is seeing Jesus for who he really is, by recognising that while he was fully human, he was also God among us. It is this that changes people's perceptions about Jesus and can change their lives. So as we set out on another year, let's keep this in mind, that if we want to see people coming into God's kingdom, and we do, if we want to see people being saved, and we do, we need to show them Jesus. We need to be prepared to speak about him, to show by our lives what Jesus is like, to challenge gently but clearly wrong understandings about who Jesus is. We need to pray that Jesus will powerfully show himself to people so that they will really see him for who he is. It is God who changes people's lives. And we are privileged to be part of that process as we present Jesus to others in all his glory and his wonder and his grace. And then Paul goes on in verse 15 to speak about one of the wonderful implications of being in Christ. Again, picking up on that theme of identity. Identity in Christ. If we are such people, then in some way, we are part of a new creation. And this is such a message of hope for so many reasons. But it is a phrase that has caused a lot of debate and discussion. Those of us who were brought up using the King James Version, as I was, would have read that though, for those of us who are in Christ, we are new creatures. When the NIV was published in 1984, it changed this slightly to being a new creation, maybe suggesting something slightly bigger. And when the NIV was updated in 2011, it'd been changed again to say that something much larger was taking place, that the new creation has come. And it's understandable that translators have struggled with this, as what we have in the Greek text is simply, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. That's all it says. And we are left to fill in the blanks. I want to suggest that either idea, being a new creature, being part of the new creation, is really significant and says some powerful things. That when we come to believe in Jesus, we are no longer the same people. We become new people. We have new life. Things that used to be important to us suddenly fade into the background. We have a new purpose. We have a new reason for living. But it's more than that, as it points to the reality that the God who created the universe, the God who brought everything into existence, is in the business of recreation. Recognizing that we've messed up his good creation, God is working to restore it and bring it back fully into relationship with him. And the last few chapters of the Bible speak powerfully about how this is going to happen. That one day, all of creation will be restored and we will live in relationship with God again as he originally planned. Excuse me. But what Paul is saying here is that when we come to be in Christ, we can experience being part of that new creation now. We are the first signs of that new creation coming, just as the first signs of growth in a farmer's field indicate the harvest that is going to come. It reminds me of something I saw in Ukraine when I visited there a few times some years ago. Nearly everybody I met, whatever their main occupation, including teachers and church pastors and shopkeepers and opticians, just to name a few, also had large gardens where they grew fruit and vegetables, kept pigs and poultry. It might have been different in larger towns, but this is what we saw where we were staying. And in the summer, people would harvest their crops and store much of them away in large sheds in their gardens to provide food during the winter months. And as the months went on, they got down to the last few jars and bottles. They would have been very much aware that what they were eating was old and getting fairly boring. And then when the new harvest was available, they'd be able to enjoy fresh, new produce again and to value the provision of new life. And this is what we have been brought into, this new life that God has for us. A wonderful thing to hold on to experience, that if we know Jesus, we are new people. We are already part of what God is doing. We can live in the reality of the freshness and newness that only Jesus can bring. And we can have the total confidence and hope that one day God will finish his work of new creation and everything will be new and fresh and restored. Something to hold on to and rejoice in, particularly when times seem hard. And with those ideas in mind, seeing people from God's perspective, the wonderful privilege of being part of a new creation, we come to think about reconciliation, which can have a range of meanings. It could talk about re-establishing good relations between two people or two groups of people. This might be different sides of an industrial dispute. It might be two friends falling out. re-establishing good relations. It could be settling a disagreement. It could be making two things that seem incompatible with each other to be able to exist together. When we think about it in a human sense, for example, with a married couple who've grown apart, or two friends who no longer see eye to eye. When we think about someone who, for some reason, has cut off all ties with their family. It is often said, and probably with at least a ring of truth, that there is fault on both sides, and that each person needs to change in some way as part of that reconciliation process. We often need to work out how we can be reconciled with each other, how we each need to change for that to happen. And the Bible does speak about that. It talks about that process and the importance of doing that. And that's something to recognise this morning. If we know that we are estranged from somebody else, what are we doing to seek that reconciliation with them? Yes, there may be things that they need to do, but are there things that we need to do to change so that we can be restored into relationship? But whenever the New Testament speaks about reconciliation in reference to God, it is always a one-way process that we need to be reconciled to him. Romans 5:10 speaks about being reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:11 speaks about us receiving reconciliation. Our passage today speaks about God reconciling us, about God reconciling the world, about the importance of being reconciled to God. Ephesians 2:16 speaks about different groups of people being reconciled to God through what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Colossians 1:20 speaks about reconciling everything to God. Colossians 1:22 speaks about God reconciling people through the death of Jesus. Consistently, reconciliation is something God does to and for us through the person, the work, the death of his son, Jesus. There is no sense that God has done anything wrong at all to cause the breakdown in relationship with him that humanity is experiencing. But there is every sense that God is working to make things right again. What an amazing, truthful, powerful picture of the love God has for his creation and his ongoing engagement with it. And as Paul develops this theme in this passage, he first speaks about God, what God has done in his own life and in the lives of those who are working with him. The first verse in this letter tells us that the letter was from Paul and Timothy. Now, Paul would have been the senior partner, but it was something they were doing together. So they were working together. And so here in verse 18, Paul is making clear that they themselves have received this reconciliation from and with God. He recognises that there was nothing that nothing they could have done to make it possible. It was only something that could come from God. And this is where we each need to start to know, to experience for ourselves this reconciliation with God. So at the start of a new year, it's a good question to think about. Is this something I have received? Is this something I am enjoying? Is this something that has changed me? There are many people in many churches throughout the world who have chosen to be part of a community of God's people, a church, because of the friendship, the sense of engagement, a common purpose, something to unite around. But they've never had that personal experience of reconciliation with God through Jesus. And if anyone here this morning is aware that that is their situation, Paul would implore them in exactly the same way as he implored the believers in Corinth in verse 20. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. If you haven't taken that step, something that I would urge you to do, to receive that reconciliation from God that comes through Jesus. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And find yourself received and welcomed into his family. And if you don't know how to do that, speak with someone you know, speak with someone you trust. Speak with somebody you know is on this journey. And they'd be delighted to help you with that. But it's not just for those who've never taken that step. It is for all of us. Even if we experience reconciliation with God many years ago, is there something in our lives that we know is not what God wants? Something that is stopping us? Stopping us from enjoying the depth of relationship with God that he wants for us? Again, Paul's words apply to us. For us to get rid of those things, to seek God's help in getting rid of those things, and to once again be fully and completely reconciled to God, to experience again the full joy of living as part of his new creation. But Paul also recognises that while he and Timothy, as individuals, had enjoyed this reconciliation, the work of God in Jesus was on a much broader scale. In verse 19, God was reconciling the world to himself. The world to himself in Christ. That's what God is doing. Reconciling the entire world. Each person, each situation, each instance of injustice in the world. God is seeking to draw everyone and everything back into relationship with himself. This reminds us of the amazing scope of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. It reminds us that no one is too far gone so that they can't be drawn back into relationship with God. It speaks about hope being available for all. Are there people? Are there situations we've given up on, thinking that they are so difficult, so evil, that they are beyond the reach of God's desire for reconciliation? Paul allows no such thought in his own life. He would encourage us not to allow it space in ours, as he rejoices in the reality that because of Jesus, God is in the process of reconciling everything and everyone back to himself. God is prepared to forgive, to no longer remember people's sins and the wrong things they have done, as he freely offers forgiveness and a new life for all. Let's not give up on people, but let's seek to see them from God's perspective, with God's heart of love, and have the desire to see each and every person reconciled to God. Maybe there was someone you were praying for, speaking with about Jesus during 2021, and you saw no change at all in their lives. Or maybe there's someone you've been concerned about for even longer, and it's easy to give up and think that they are never going to respond to Jesus. Let's remind ourselves that God is in the business of reconciling the whole world. And let's continue to pray, to continue to speak, to continue to point to Jesus, and to wait and see what God will do. And as well as rejoicing in the reconciliation that he has experienced, as well as recognizing that God was seeking to reconcile the whole world to himself, Paul rejoices in the privilege of being part of this process, of having been given the ministry of reconciliation, of being ambassadors of reconciliation, of being able to encourage others on God's behalf to be reconciled to God. And this is what he gave his life to, traveling around the Mediterranean area, preaching wherever he went, establishing churches so that others could experience the same reconciliation that he was enjoying for himself. And we, in turn, can also take on this privilege and act as ambassadors of reconciliation, to speak with others about the amazing opportunity to become right with God and to live in relationship with him. It starts by recognizing, just as Paul did, that we've received this for ourselves. It needs us to recognise that this is only possible because we have this new identity with Christ. It requires us to see people as those for whom Christ died. It needs us to have the prompting and enabling of the Spirit to cause us to reach out to others and point them to Jesus. And on that basis, we can join with Paul and many others in not only having a new identity, not only being part of God's new creation, but having a new purpose for our lives, that of encouraging others to come to know Jesus for themselves. What a great purpose to allow to flow into us, to fill us, to inspire us as we start this year together. As we've thought about this amazing privilege of being able to be reconciled with God as part of our identity in Jesus, it's raised some questions. Questions to think about, questions to reflect on, questions to pray into, questions to act upon. Have we really grasped the enormity of what God is doing through Jesus as he works out his plan of new creation and reconciliation for the world? And does this change how we see the world and how we engage with it? Have we maybe realised our need for being reconciled with God for the very first time? And if so, are we going to act on that? Have we recognised that there are things in our lives that need to be dealt with so that our relationship with God can be fully restored? And if so, are we going to be honest with God and others to put those things right, so that we can fully enjoy and experience what God has for us? And are we going to pick up again that responsibility and privilege of acting as ambassadors of reconciliation to encourage others to experience Jesus for themselves and to become part of God's new creation for themselves? Exciting things made possible through the person and work of Jesus. Let's recognise them. Let's rejoice in them. Let's enter fully into them as part of recognising who we have become in Jesus. And let's go into this week confident in that knowledge, that certainty that we have been reconciled to God. That there is nothing that comes between us and God. There is nothing that separates us because of Jesus. Because of our identity in him, because of what he has brought us into. And from that place of knowledge and of certainty and of peace and of security, let's go and be ambassadors as we share with others the wonderful things that Jesus has done and can do in their lives. May God bless us as we take on the things that he calls us to do.